Radio. Good afternoon. I'm sorry. I always do that. I've been here all morning, so I keep thinking it's the morning. Hey, we're on. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and this show is called A Progressive Life, and we bring in Dr. Feynman on the air.
Yes, if it's in California, then it is the morning.
That's right. Yeah, well, actually, if it's in Nebraska, it's the morning, I guess.
I just found that so funny.
Well, I get confused, and this morning is no exception. I am totally confused this morning. All right, let's start it right off the beginning. Book banning. What?
No.
It's hit the news huge this week.
No, I totally agree with Adam Lepp. I heard what he had to say.
Okay.
There should not be any book banning. And besides, if you ban books, people, the kids will find out about it, like Lady Chatterley's Lover for Us years ago.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Or
this
candy.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah. I own Lady Chatterley's Lover because I bought it back when I was probably 15.
So. Yes. And I hate to say it, parents trying to control what kids read or watch within limits of watching at a certain age, maybe like when they're very little, but you really can't do that. With the internet today and phones, you know, you cannot keep a kid in isolation, and there's no reason to.
Yeah, I can see where a parent, if you knew my wife, you'd change your mind on that, but my wife could absolutely make all three of my kids not watch or listen or read anything, just out of sheer
only
guilt.
At home. You don't know what they do when they're outside
That's
the
true.
House.
That's true, yeah. Now, what do you think? Is telling somebody that they can't tell a gay man that he can have a gay-colored cake, do you think that should be allowed? Or that's censorship, is it not?
Well, I don't totally agree with Adam Lepp, because I think that a public business has to serve everybody who comes in, no matter who they are. It's as much as if a black couple came in and they decided we only serve whites.
Yeah,
no, that cannot be allowed under civil rights laws, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, and that is exactly what the question that was raised by Scott is that what's the difference between saying a black couple can't have a cake, but a black couple, a gay couple can't have a cake, but a black couple must be allowed to have a cake.
It's a discrimination under the civil rights laws.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. If you have a business, what is the big deal if you put two grooms on a wedding cake instead of a bride and a groom symbol? It's so stupid, ridiculous.
Well, it's expensive. They don't make two grooms. You gotta order those special.
Obviously, you get the image. You know, the little whatever you call it of the of a groom or a bride. It's not difficult. To me, that is just not right, you know. But of course, sometimes the courts go wacky, so I'm not even sure what the standard is right now when we have a Supreme Court that says Alabama does not have to have a second mostly black district, even though the black population is large enough to have a second district. To me, that's insane, and Clarence Thomas being in that majority blows my mind. It really does.
Well, that brings us right to the second question I was going to ask is, does the Supreme Court have the right, well, they've taken the right, to allow the GOP congressional maps to do as they want and cut out all sorts of people?
I think the only way the courts get involved is if there's discrimination. In this case, there was, but they decided to back the discrimination and prevent a second black majority district.
Well, now, can things like that, you're an expert on that sort of thing.
Well, I'm a lawyer's expert. I'm knowledgeable, let's say.
Okay, that's better than me.
An expert. I'm not a lawyer.
can the Supreme Court be overturned by anybody?
No, unfortunately. The only thing is John Roberts did join the three, quote, liberals, end quote, on the court.
Yeah.
He's dismayed by what's happening to the court. So that's why lately there's been a couple of people thinking, you know what he might decide to do? We'll see if he does. Maybe it's just talk. He might decide to retire from the court and let Joe Biden pick a new Chief Justice because I think he feels he's on the losing side and his name is on the court forever and that it doesn't look very good right now. And he's been there 17 years and he's young still, about 68. But honestly, there should be a term limit. And also, he almost died 15 years ago when he had a seizure, you know, on a fishing deck, and he survived. But I would think it would be a very nice thing if he would decide he's had it and decides to retire.
There'll be all sorts of people that'll be behind the scenes twisting his arm not to do that. You know that for a fact.
And then there's the question of who would replace him.
Yeah.
And I know one person that probably is not interested, but a lot of people would love for her, not him, to be on the court. Michelle Obama.
Yeah, she doesn't want to, though.
Well, being on the court, she would be. Not run for president. Yeah. Or maybe even Obama would. He can become the second William Howard Taft.
That would be interesting.
Chief Justice after being a president.
Well, now, that brings us to another question that I raised on my page. Does Biden have the right to select, to say right up front, I'm only selecting a black woman to the Supreme Court?
He's as much right as Ronald Reagan did, saying he was going to pick a woman for the court, picking Sandra Day O'Connor. For George H.W. Bush deciding he was going to pick a black person, which is Clarence Thomas, to replace Thurgood Marshall, the first black justice. Yeah. The same as saying that he was going to, in the case of Donald Trump, pick a woman to replace, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and he picked, obviously, Amy Coney Barrett. Of course he has the right.
Yeah.
It's not like he's picking somebody who's a black woman who's incompetent. These are all qualified people on that list, and there's no reason to say that any of them couldn't serve.
What?
That's just BS coming from the Fox News channel, and particularly from Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson, and they are bigots, and that's the reality. And if I want to just say this, that if Whoopi Goldberg could be suspended for 2 weeks for making a statement that she backed off on after because she misspoke, then I think they should be fired, honestly. They shouldn't be on, but of course they're going to stay on. They can say anything they want and get away with it and be paid millions, and Whoopi Goldberg gets suspended where I think she should not be. If she had said, she wasn't willing to concede a blunder, that's different, but she did, and I don't think it's a big deal that she's off a couple of weeks, but I do think it's unjust.
Well, there's a difference, though. The Fox News people tune in because they think
yes.
That way. Whereas people that watched Whoopi on some show don't tune in just because she's
true.
Very liberal.
True.
Now, I prefer to listen to more liberal people, but I don't tune it in because of that. But there are people that specifically tune in Fox News because they want to hear only their side of the
story. They only want to hear what's mostly lies, because it's a reality. Fox News is propaganda. And like even on Ukraine, so many of them are saying, let Russia have Ukraine. That's not the right way to look at it. And suddenly we have people who are pro-Russian, like Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, who years ago would have been anti-Soviet Union, and Joseph McCarthy, not Kevin, would be going after them.
Yeah, and
it's such hypocrisy.
And their lies would be, or their positions would be run into the ground if McCarthy was still, the idea of McCarthy and the anti-communist McCarthy.
And now Kevin McCarthy, I just wrote about it on my blog, is giving in to the Republican National Committee, unlike Mitch McConnell. I'm not a Mitch McConnell fan, but at least we have to give credit that he said that the statement of the Republican National Committee in the last week is horrendous. The whole idea that indeed that there's such a thing as acceptable, except I'm trying to find the exact wording at the moment. Legitimate political discourse. To say what happened on January 6th is legitimate political discourse, that is an outrage. And that's why I say he's not qualified to be Speaker of the House, and the Republican Party should not, I hope, win control, because it is not acceptable to have the violence, bloodshed, and destruction of January 6th and say it's legitimate political discourse.
What would a legitimate political discourse mean? And nobody's given any good examples of what legitimate political discourse is.
Well, demonstrations outside the U.S. Capitol building, which can go on or anywhere else, peaceful, you know, demonstrations with signs and all that, but not having a hangman's noose for Mike Pence, not threatening Speaker Pelosi, not going in deep, going into the building and destroying property, and not assaulting Capitol Police officers and putting everyone in danger. I mean, that's legitimate, is peaceful demonstrations.
The one thing that really turned me off was apparently they peed on the walls, and they also
put feces on the wall. They also broke some, I think, some sculptures, too.
Yeah, that's...
So they did real damage. And, of course, they gave everybody who works in the Capitol building, all the staff people of the various senators and congressmen, and all the cleaning staff, and all the police, and guards and all that, made them all have mental, emotional reactions that still affects them a year later.
Now, if people came into the radio station, or came into my former employer, the credit union, and broke stuff and dismantled stuff and peed on stuff, they could be arrested.
Yes, of course, there have been people arrested for January 6th, but I think the fact of all these members of the House on the Republican side, not all of them, but about two-thirds of the House and eight senators, Republicans, promoting this insurrection by their behavior on January 6th, they should all be prosecuted and banned from ever serving in Congress after this term.
But you know that won't happen.
I'm not so sure.
Really?
It's going to be hard, but I would think that it should become an issue that, it could be done legally, I think, because they have disobeyed the 14th Amendment, Section 3. They've been involved in an insurrection against their own government that they serve. It's just like Jefferson Davis or Alexander Stevens or Robert E. Lee, the same thing.
Well, how about the, six or seven Republican congressmen or senators who gave aid and comfort, or at least talked to the people that were rioters the day before?
Yes, and I'm not sure the exact list for certain, but I believe it includes Jim Jordan.
Yes, it does.
And also Paul Gosar, and also Madison Cawthorn, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Lauren Boebert, and there's a number of others. And those people should definitely be banned, if not everybody who voted to not accept the results. Maybe not that, but at least that small band should be expelled and prosecuted.
Maybe I should run against Jim Jordan. I don't know.
I think somebody is running, actually.
Oh, I'm sure there is, yeah.
I think you'd be excellent in the House of Representatives.
I was going to pull that up on my phone, and I forgot to do it, but
the question is, if you got elected, would you go to Washington, D.C.? Would your wife let you?
Well, she might not let me, but I'd go.
Would you be able to come back home?
Oh, yeah, because I got a dog at home.
Well, you couldn't come down. You couldn't come back every day, and then you'd be using aircraft and causing more global warming.
Oh, yeah, millions of dollars I'd be spending. No, when I was 14 or 15 years old, I told my mother that I wanted to be president of the United States, and
really?
I was dead serious about it, and I continued to be dead serious about it most of my life. I really think I'd be a good president, but nobody else does, but I do.
Well, actually, when I was bar mitzvah at age 13, an uncle asked me, what do you want to do with your life, Ronnie? And I said, I didn't say president, I said, I want to be a U.S. senator.
Ooh,
and he said, well, why not start with the House of Representatives? And I said, I want to start at the top. And I would have been very proud, and I've had students say to me, I should have been a senator because of my knowledge, my expertise, and some of them say, and I'm not saying I am, my brilliance, and I think I could have been a good senator. And there was, a couple of times when somebody took over a seat when someone died or resigned suddenly for just a few months, and I joked, oh, I wish I could get that appointment for a few months only. I wouldn't run for the term, but just finish the term a few months, but give me a chance to get some publicity, be interviewed by CNN and other stations, and also get a chance to speak up on domestic and foreign policy and make some people angry. Then I would, then I would leave, but I could go to any restaurant and say, Senator Feinman wants a table.
Now, see,
I
think that's why a lot of people get into politics. Sex, money, and power.
I wasn't looking for the first. Waver the Second. It was rather the idea of having influence. But as it is, you know, I find that it's, I don't do it, but when I'm with some other people, sometimes they'll say, we want a table, and they mention Dr. Five, except I'm a medical doctor. So what happens is, you know, is I laugh at it, but if you say the word doctor, it makes you look more important to people somehow. I might
guess so.
That.
Yeah. I have three doctors in my family, all of which are dead now, but I didn't have anything to do with them, Pastor. But I never respected them. As a matter of fact, I told Scott this morning, I said, I hadn't been to a doctor when I had my heart attack. I hadn't been to a doctor in 58 years. So.
Wow. How old were you when you had the heart attack?
Probably right around 68. Yeah.
So your last one, a doctor at age 10?
Oh, yeah, that was easily the last doctor I'd seen. I'm not even sure I saw one then.
Wait a minute, but you were in the military, you had to see doctors.
Well, yeah, but I didn't think of them as doctors. I mean, they were, yeah, I guess you're right here. I should have thought of that. I did not, but I should have thought of that. But, you know, we were in a situation where if I got kind of nauseated or sick, or it felt like I was coming down with the flu. My wife's dad, who Dr. Makovsky, he would give me a shot of vitamin B12, and I'd be fine. So I guess I really saw him. I just didn't plan to have appointments or anything like that.
Yeah, well, I think as you get older, though, you need to go to a doctor on a regular basis.
I now go one every quarter, a quarter.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Same with dentists.
Well, I don't do that very often, so.
Well, but your teeth matter.
I guess they do.
Yes, they do.
I have to talk, so if I didn't have any teeth,
beyond that, eating and to be healthy, because if you have troubles with your mouth, it can cause bad health.
Oh, okay. Well.
This is from Dr. Fox.
Thank you, Dr. Fox.
MD or a dentist.
Oh, my. I'm really feeling guilty now. I have a doctor's appointment.
Trying to make you feel guilty.
I have a doctor's appointment next Tuesday, and I don't think I'm going to go. I think I'm just going to say the heck with it. Dr. Feynman told me I didn't have to go. Away with it.
Well, I'm telling you to go.
Well, did you hear that our mayor has thrown his hat in the ring today to run for state treasurer? And that will leave, if he's elected, that will leave 1 year of his mayoral term up in the air, and then somebody will have to be appointed. So Adam called in today during our show and said I should be appointed. And now I was flattered.
Well, for 1 year, as long as you didn't want to run for another, it wouldn't be nice. You could, just like me trying to be a senator for a couple of months.
Yeah, that's what brought it to my mind, is that it's almost identical to what you were hoping for. Now, Scott has already suggested that we bring Mary Ellen Withrow in.
How old is she now?
She's 90.
Well, that's the only thing, but she wants to take on that responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, even though she might be competent, but that's pretty old age.
I think not only is she competent, but I think she's spry enough and sharp enough that she would be very good at it.
Is the mayor, the present mayor, a Democrat?
Yes, he is.
Really?
He's the only Democrat in the entire state of the Ohio.
Is it Marion?
Yeah.
Are you in Marion, and yet your representative of that area is Jim Jordan? That doesn't make sense. I guess this is a wider area.
And the lady that beat me for a position for state representative is obviously a Republican, and she's one of those people that believes that if you have to know, if you're going to have an abortion, you have to know within 6 weeks. So she's one of those.
So she's an authoritarian controlling other people's bodies.
I guess. I don't know. She's a former vet like I am, only she, I don't know where, what she, how she served, but she was good, and she raised like $160,000, some of which came from the Republican
Yeah, I guess that seat represents larger than Marion, so you have the Democratic Marion mayor, but the area is much larger for these seats. Yeah?
Yeah,
I was going to say, her viewpoint, and I think this, I would say this for any woman who would say we shouldn't allow abortion beyond blah, 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 a certain number of weeks. I don't want to wish it, but if any of them suddenly got raped, and this happens every day, I think she would feel differently.
I think she would do her if it
were... Not wishing it, I'm just saying.
Or she had a daughter that was done.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always easy to tell other people how to live their lives, but not your life or your daughter's life.
Yeah, and neither one of us believe that abortions are a good thing.
No,
we
of course not, but you can't ban it.
A medical thing, yeah.
Especially rape or incest, even if you wanted to say generally, but now we have all these laws, including, I think, in Ohio, they're trying to, and I know in Florida, they want to ban it, even for rape or incest, or even life of the mother in some cases, and yet they're pro-life, they claim.
Yeah, pro-life.
It's infuriating.
Yeah, but they still vote for the death penalty and that sort of thing. And they don't take care of the kids once they're born.
No, because they don't want to pay the taxes for it.
Yeah, don't.
So then the kids end up, in many cases, having a bad life and maybe becoming part of the prison system. And that's not the way to bring up children.
And in actuality, the prison system is going to cost them a lot more than if they just treat them right.
These people are know-nothings, K-N-O-W. They don't know what they're talking about. They're ignorant and they're prejudiced. That's all. And especially because, in their mind, most of the people who have abortions are minority, when actually the majority are white poor. There are plenty of white poor who cannot afford children. Ask about in West Virginia and Kentucky, for instance. It's not just minorities.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that I haven't told anybody, but...
Ooh, now you're telling everybody.
I saved it for this, and I'm not sure I'm supposed to say anything about it. I think it's okay. One of the people who's... Fred Malone, who's on my show once a month, who's with the Historical Society, called me last night, and I hope I'm not saying something... Is that you or is that me that's got that?
It's got music. I don't know where it's coming from.
I don't either.
I'm trying to get rid of it. It comes on every once in a while.
Oh, okay.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Anyway, he called me yesterday. Now, he's in charge. He's a very big mucky muck in the Marion Historical Society. And every year they put on a thing called Dinner with the Presidents. And they have... people that come in...
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
As the presidents, yeah. Well, he asked me last night if I would be interested in being one of the presidents.
Which one?
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you.
Donald Trump.
James Buchanan.
Oh, my gosh. The one who's really at the absolute bottom in polls.
Absolutely.
The only person... Absolute bottom, below Andrew Johnson, below Franklin Pierce, and below, get this in the C-SPAN survey, Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's hard to imagine anybody's below Donald Trump, but...
and also, he is the one president who people think might have been homosexual.
Yeah, I know.
Married.
And that's what I'm trying to figure out, what Fred is trying to say to me, I am absolutely thrilled that he invited me to do it, and I've told him I would do it.
So when is that going to take place?
Oh, it won't be until next October, I think.
I see. Oh, is it something where it's recorded, or?
No. I don't think it is. I'll have to get back to you.
You're waiting to watch it or listen to it after the fact, if not at the time?
You know what's really cool? They actually make costumes for you so you look like the person.
Oh!
I'm going to... Buchanan had kind of a shock of hair that went up kind of at the top of his head.
Yes.
And so I'm going to let my hair do that sort of thing. And I'm going to not wear my glasses because I don't believe Buchanan wore glasses. I'm looking forward to it. As you know, I was an actor for 2 years after I got out of college, and that was my major in college.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, I thought you knew that.
No, and what kind of acting did you do? What plays or what?
Everything. I was...
Singing or drama? I mean...
Both. I was Charlie Brown in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
So you weren't singing, you were just in the musical,
I was also riff in West Side Story. So, yeah, I've done everything.
With photographs or videos of that, though?
No. No, that was
photographs to see how you looked when you would portray, when you would dress like that?
Well, I think I put one of them on our advertisement for this show.
Anytime that you were portraying anyone, at least a photograph of it. Yeah.
I was Bernardo in high school, and I will put that on next week my picture for our ad for this show.
That's so you great. See wow, you really much more talented than I ever knew.
No, I had no talent. That's why I'm not an actor now.
Well, actually, I was in high school in a musical, an off-Broadway musical, not a famous one, Leave It to Jane. It was off-Broadway, and what happened is I played, of all things, a college professor. Believe this?
Well guessed.
Professor Talbot was my name, and I had the fifth biggest part, and it was a comedy, and I remember asking the director, I'm 16 years old, why did you pick me for this part? He said, you look like a professor. I don't know what he meant by that. I wore glasses, but I don't know what he meant, but it's so funny, because that's exactly what I ended up becoming.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
But I was supposed to be an absent-minded professor in the play. I don't think I'm absent-minded.
Well, I had to get out of the business because of my dyslexia. I'm blaming everything on that. But
it's a tough life as far as economically, unless you're very famous.
Oh, yeah. Well, I couldn't memorize lines very well. That was my problem. As a matter of fact, I was once told by a critic of the Milwaukee Journal when I was playing Charlie Brown, he said, I think it was a wonderful play, but shouldn't Charlie Brown know his lines or something to that effect?
Oh, my God. Well, you flubbed, I guess, a few times, huh?
Yeah, well, every time I was in a play, I made up the lines. When I did do Shakespeare.
Were they appropriate in replacing?
Yeah. Well,
that's good. You can be a little, you don't have to always follow every word as long as you extemporize very well.
But when you do Shakespeare, you should do it word for word. And I did Shakespeare twice.
Ooh,
and
you are really fascinating.
I did my lines correctly in Shakespeare because I had two roles, both of which probably had no more than 20 lines, so I was in good shape that way. Let's see.
Rework the Electoral Count Act.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, that's the 1887 law. We need to make it more clear that the Vice President of the United States, in the term ending, whether he's on the ballot or not, has no control other than just being a person who announces the results, has no ability to interfere with the results. And I commend Mike Pence for finally speaking up on that.
Yeah, well, now, I've been listening to what they say about this Electoral Count Act.
It's a bipartisan move to change it, by the way.
But it sounds to me like there are a lot of things they may take more license than they're given to change the Electoral Code.
I don't know. From what I've gathered, they want to make it that we will not have another situation like January 6, 2021, which is essential, especially for the next time. But if for good that Kamala Harris should have no control over what the electoral vote count is coming from each state. Because, it's decided and it's locked in December, and it should just be an automatic situation that's announced on January 6th.
And you just mentioned exactly why it's okay by both the parties. Kamala might change everything if they don't change that electoral.
She wouldn't do that.
No,
Mike Pence didn't want to speak up until now. Yeah. In fact, I just sent an article to History News Network about the reality. I did research 19 times, including Mike Pence. A vice president has disagreed with the president. Sometimes it was not known until later, but there's been, let's say, controversy between presidents and vice presidents.
Right.
This article is going to be published soon, but Mike Pence finally joined the group that he just didn't go, even though he was a sycophant all along, obsequious all along with Trump, he finally came out and made clear his difference, and that's important. So it's happened 19 times out of 49 vice presidents.
Were you shocked when you saw that, his speech where he said that?
I did not expect it, but I think it makes him look better in history.
Oh, absolutely.
So correct and accurate what he said. But he is, I think, trying to think he's going to have a future. He's never going to be the Republican nominee. And honestly, I don't like his views. He's much too narrow-minded and religious views and other views. And I don't want him in the White House, but I don't think he has a chance in the world because the Trumpites will never accept him. But I'm still hopeful the Trumpites will lose out after the midterm elections. I think a lot of them are going to lose the seats that they're trying to gain.
I hope you're right. Yeah. You know what? I don't want to have any president that has to, when somebody says, okay, can we do this? Hold on, I got to call my wife. Find out whether I can do it or not.
Well, that also, this craziness that he can't have lunch with a woman if his wife isn't there. I mean, this is crazy stuff. It really is. And he also calls his wife mother. That is really nuts. Now, Ronald Reagan did call his wife mommy, which is also weird.
Yeah.
But he's also a lot older, you know, and I don't know if that's an excuse. I think it was also...
Well, he was losing his mind, too.
but I just think Mike Pence is not fit to be president. But honestly, I wish he had been able to take over for a couple of weeks when Trump, at the end, was going off the deep end. He should have been removed.
I wish I could remember what I call my wife. And I don't call her Carol. I call her C.A. Her name is Carol Ann, so I call her C.A.
That's how you address her, C.A.?
Yeah. That's about, well, we address my son, my eldest son, as K.J., so...
Why are you using initials?
Christopher John just seemed long, and Carol Ann, I don't know. I thought it sounded more business-like. I don't know why.
This sounds weird to me.
Well, it is kind of weird. I don't know why we started doing that, but I don't call Buddy B.C., Buddy Coble, my dog.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
He's adorable.
He is adorable, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what do you think of the rules on no-knock warrants?
They should be stopped because we had another person murdered in Minneapolis
absolutely.
This week, similar to Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's just uncalled for. There's no reason, in my mind, to have no-knock warrants.
Do you know why they started? What caused them to be okay? I would have thought that would have been no right from the beginning.
I've not researched no-knock warrants, how it all started, but I think it's abuse of power by police. It's much too much, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not criticizing police per se for doing it. I mean, yes, for doing it. I'm not saying that they should have done something differently. I just think that the idea of having a no-knock warrant is almost like being the Nazis. You know?
Well, I'm wondering if that, I don't know if that's ever come up to the Supreme Court, but I think it's giving too much authority to government to intervene in people's private lives without a warrant where they know about it. It's one thing if they say, we're here, knock at the door, and of course they can have people shoot at them. I realize that, but that's part of the deal of being a police officer, you know, unfortunately. But I think people should be aware that someone's coming to their home and that they're going to have to deal with them, not be shocked, especially in the middle of the night, which is what happened in both Breonna Taylor case and in this recent Minneapolis case. And also the fact that apparently most of these no-knock warrants happen to people who are not white. So I think it's a racist thing too, that they don't value the lives of people, you know, who are not white.
How much different is a no-knock warrant from stop and frisk like they had in New York for so long?
Well, actually, I think stop and frisk in theory was designed to cut down on crime, but honestly, I don't think it's right that some kid walking along the street who happens to be minority should be just stopped by police without parole. White kids don't have that happen. That's not right.
You see an African-American kid with his pants down.
Or a Latino kid, you know, whatever. Yeah.
With their pants halfway down over their butt.
Well, I don't like that, but that doesn't mean you should be arrested.
But you shouldn't have the right to stop and frisk those people just because you don't like the way they look.
No.
We had a kid that was thrown out of high school for a day because he wore a T-shirt that said, stick shift.
What?
Yeah, stick shift. And it was...
Stick? S-T-I-C-K shift?
Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well,
that's what used to be the old cars for your automatic shift.
It showed a guy yanking on a stick lever, and it was kind of a penile... inference, I guess. And so our principal, King Telly was his name. King Telly.
Is this when you were a kid?
Yeah. King Telly threw him out of school, told him he could never wear that shirt back in. And he also would throw you out of school if you didn't have a belt on. So,
well, honestly, you should have the belt on. You shouldn't be wearing an obscene shirt. Or that I would agree, but I would not suspend. I would just send the person home and say, you have to change your clothes. You cannot come back that way.
Yeah. But now, why would you require people wear a belt?
Well, unless they're very slim and their pants fit perfectly.
Well,
but I mean, it's just beta. Same thing as wearing shoes, right?
I don't know. I've gone without a belt on occasionally. But my pants are pretty snug anyways.
But I'm just saying, you know, it's funny when you go to, like, even McDonald's, it says shirts and shoes required. They don't say pants, though.
And they don't say belt required either. But
it's funny, I've always said, they don't mention pants. That's the most important thing.
I wonder what would happen if a person went in with a t-shirt on and shoes on and no pants.
It's just a funny thing to see the sign, though, but it does show up in a lot of businesses, yes.
Oh, me. What a crazy morning this has been today. Well, crazy day so far.
We've had a lot of laughs today.
Huh?
We've had a lot of laughs today.
I still didn't understand you.
What's that?
I didn't understand what
I
you
said. I
said
we've had a lot of laughs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Today.
And speaking of a lot of laughs, your governor is getting a lot of laughs lately.
Oh, my God. He is a nightmare. I've said that a long time already. He is dangerous, too, because he doesn't give a damn for anybody how they feel. He's arrogant and he's abusive toward news media. He's copying Donald Trump. He's like Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, now, you think he's going to try to run?
Oh, absolutely.
You do.
But he's one of the Republican governors I wrote this week. It's a conservative-oriented party against big government and executive authority, but now the Republican Party has embraced the authoritarian Donald Trump, and it gets worse than that. It also embraces dictatorial state governors to take away power from local counties and school boards. And I mentioned Greg Abbott of Texas, Ron DeSantis of Florida, Doug Ducey of Arizona, Kim Reynolds of Iowa, Tate Reeves of Mississippi, Mike Parson of Missouri, Peter Ricketts of Nebraska, Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma, Kristi Noem, who is really obnoxious, the new Sarah Palin, I call her, from South Dakota, who thinks she wants to be president, so she came up with the idea of having a Mount Rushmore image with Donald Trump on it
for
the other four presidents. What a nightmare, what a moron. And even the new governor of Virginia is wacko, Glenn Youngkin. I was hoping for better, but he's really becoming a real nut.
Yes.
So these are 10 Republican governors who act authoritarian like they're dictators, and that's why any one of them is very scary, because that's not the design of our system of government. The state governments are a disgrace in many cases. And I'm sorry, I know I said the word disgrace, so I apologize to Scott.
Scott's not listening now. He's already gotten
But I'm just saying, he'll probably hear this later and laugh, but I shouldn't say, but that is the word for these governors.
Well, now, the guy that I'm going to play, James Buchanan, was a state's rightists. Now, isn't that kind of the thing that's that your governor is hiding behind, you know, states' rights?
But well, states' rights as against the federal government, but meanwhile dictates the school boards and counties everything they can do, including masking of kids and all that, that they can't, and having a health care, I'm not sure what the title is, but the state doctor, whatever, who happens to be an African-American, who will even say if he's even had had any vaccinations, and he's an arrogant man. I don't know where he found this guy, and many other people who have been involved with this guy in medicine have condemned him, but he's now the new health officer, whatever the title is, in Florida, and he's not even answering questions before the state legislature, but the legislature's Republican-dominated, and they're going to just approve him, and he's going to have the salary, I think, have a job for 10 years, I think, unless he can be forced out, I guess, but probably at a heavy cost financially if he's forced out. This state is really a mess.
Well, now, he was target of an interview, I believe, on 60 Minutes that showed what a nutcase the guy really is.
Well, actually, was that recently, this week or last week?
I think it was, I think they replayed it this week, maybe, or last week.
It was recently. I didn't actually know that he was on 60 Minutes, but he is an arrogant person, but he's like his, quote, boss, the governor. The governor's out of control. He's dangerous. His own wife has had breast cancer, and they go to events without masks.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just the man really is scary. And this is a state that already has two senators that are horrible. Marco, meaning Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, the former governor. And Rick Scott, I really detested. But this man, Ron DeSantis, is worse. Now, he is worse if it's possible to believe that.
I just saw that Val Demings has pulled up even with
Marco Rubio. I hope he can be defeated. Marco Rubio. But also, Charlie Crist, the former Republican governor, became an independent and then a Democrat.
Right.
Most likely, although there's three contenders, most likely the one who has a shot at beating Governor DeSantis, and I certainly am backing Charlie Crist.
Oh, somebody just honked at us as they drove by. I had to wave, even though I've got the window closed so they can't see it. But well, we're down to our final 2 minutes. What do you need to make sure that we talk about before we get back on next week?
Well, I'm saying to the Republican Party, based on what they've just done with this legitimate political discourse statement,
yeah,
the Republican National Committee has gone bonkers, and true conservatives, and there are plenty of them, many have left the Republican Party.
Right.
Many more need to, and they need to form a new party and maybe call it the Conservative Party and hopefully wipe out the Republican Party, which has become a disaster area. It's time for the Republican Party to pass away like the Whig Party did in 1864.
Yes.
I really believe that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, James Buchanan knew a lot about the Whig Party.
Well, he was a Democrat, though.
I know he was, but the
Whig Party dissolved before he became president, and the Republicans became his critics,
right,
and they controlled the House of Representatives in the last 2 years before the Civil War, and they moved to impeach him. They didn't get enough votes, but it was really a very divisive time in 1859, 1860. So I'm saying Republicans today, like Lisa Murkowski, Ben Sasse, Mitt Romney, and others, need to indeed denounce what's going on, as some of them have, and join with Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and form a new capital C Conservative Party with their principles as a true alternative, not the Trump Republican disgrace.
I can understand that. As a matter of fact, I think I've heard you in some things sound conservative, and I'm conservative in some things.
I don't have to agree with conservatives, but they at least believe in legal, legitimate government. The Trump people do not. So the Republican Party, I think, needs to die as a name, like the Whigs, and we have the call party called the Conservative Party, like they have in Great Britain.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. Okay, we're down to the last 25 seconds, so we're going to have to say goodbye for today.
A lot of fun. Thanks so much.
Okay.
See you next week.
Thanks, Dr. Feynman. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks a lot, Dr. Feynman, doing our show with us. And we had a lot to talk about today. We cut it a little close. You have a good day. Stay tuned, and tomorrow we'll be back on the air.
You're
bye-bye.
Listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio.